Today I'm going to talk about the subject, Jesus appeared to his disciples. Christmas, we say God is with us. Now we are starting the year, we say Jesus appears to his disciples. We start in the year to say we want God to appear to us. You see, when somebody appears to that, means that person becomes relevant and important in your life. Is that true? Yeah. That's what we are saying. It's like waiting for someone to show up. I mean, a visitor or some family from afar, and then the person appears. Especially when you are at the airport and you're waiting for somebody, your eyes is going around looking for everybody, and then suddenly someone appears and you think, oh, that's not the person I'm looking for. You feel so disappointed, but then you are so anxious looking for someone. And then at the moment the person appears, wow, you can't wait. You want to break the barriers. You want to embrace the person. You want to kiss the person. You want to lift up the person. Isn't that right? Yeah. I mean, it's only Bramble and the wife who are risk takers. They send their daughter to France on her own, and she comes on her own. Oh, good Lord. Where is Bramble? He's vanished somewhere. But, I mean, they do so well. And I'm sure that they probably are anxious, and as soon as they see their daughter, I mean, they just can't wait. So this year, we want Jesus to appear to us as Christ followers. That is what disciples means. And we have to have the same urgency and the same joy, the same anticipation, and the same urgency to want to embrace Jesus. Hallelujah. So if we want Jesus to appear to us, we are also talking about the Holy Spirit appearing to us, because they are the same. God appearing to us. We want an encounter with God this year. Hallelujah. Now, I said I would like to speak from Luke chapter 24, 36 to 50. But for us to get the background to this chapter, we must look at the book of Luke. I mean, from the beginning, I'm not going to go through everything, but I would like you to get the story as we know it. So when we look at the book, which this particular chapter is about a risen Lord, who is Jesus Christ. It's about God who is with us. And when we do that, we'll be able to get the context in which Jesus appeared to his disciples. Jesus did and said many things about himself to his disciples. He said many things about the purpose for which he's been sent on this into this earth, on into this our world. He taught them and did many miracles. Yet they struggled, they meaning the Christ followers struggled to connect to the reality, what they had heard and seen him do for them, and what he would do in their reality. Many times that we talk about God and we read about God in the Bible, but then we see it's an abstract thing. We don't connect that this can actually happen to us. And that those people who follow Jesus Christ, we call the disciples. Sometimes when we use the word disciples, we think they are special people. Disciples are Christ followers. And are you a Christ follower? Yes or no? Yes. Exactly. So you are disciples of Jesus. So when we look at the Bible, what is applicable to the people then is applicable to us today. Are we following a different God than they were? Is Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? Is the same God yesterday, today, will be the God forever? Is that the same God that we are worshiping? If we are, then what is true for them is true today and to be true tomorrow. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, as you open your Bible into Luke chapter 24, Uncle Moses, you can project it for me, please, if possible. If not, I'll read from my version. Luke chapter 24. Okay, let me read from our version. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they being the disciples and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing spices. Now I can read from there. It's all right. That they had prepared and went to the tomb. Roll on. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Keep on. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. Here we see that these Christ followers, both men and women, some they even buried Jesus. Some too were apostles of Jesus. That means people who have walked with Jesus from the beginning to the point of his death. We see here that these people were greatly perplexed and afraid, or in this translation, frightened about the very thing that Jesus said will happen. And when it was brought to their attention again, they remembered. But did they believe it? They remembered, but did they believe it? How many times that the Bible has told us something, or a preacher has stood on the platform to tell us something? How many times that we have sent a morning devotion to you and you've read it? How many of you are reading the morning devotion now? Now I'm actually challenging you. How many of you have read the morning devotion? Yes? Only about half a dozen from a whole lot of you. Please, I want to plead with you. We need to get into Scripture. Begin to go back and read. We've started the book of Acts. And if you don't read it, you'll be left behind. Do you understand that? You see, a lot of people, or some, charismatic or Pentecostal Christians believe that with Trump elected is the beginning of the rapture. If it is, are you ready? Are you with me? If it is, are you ready? Prophecy speculators will tell you that because Jerusalem has been announced by America as the center of the capital of Israel, that means the beginning of the rapture. But are you ready? You see, the only way you will know the truth is to get into Scripture. So I want to challenge you and ask you. Next week I will stand on this platform and ask you again. Don't stay at home, because I'm going to ask. If you do the right things, you should be happy and come to church. You understand that? You see, I want to know that you are reading, because we haven't even finished chapter 2 yet. Exactly. So go back and read. There's no commentary on it. Simple messages. And challenges you to look at it. Because we want you to actually connect with God. There's someone at the door. We want you to connect with God the way that you can understand, the way that God is speaking to you as a person in 2018. God needs to speak to you as an individual. So we just put the message there for you to go and read it. And some action point. Because we want you to move on into deeper relationship with Jesus. That is exactly what's happening here. Did they remember that? Yes, today as I speak to you, you remember Scripture. But do you believe it? Have you believed it? Now let's look from verse 9 quickly. Then they returned from the tomb and told, verse 9, please, one more. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Keep moving. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of Jesus, and the others with them who told to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Move on. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now let me read from New King James Version. It sounds better to me. He said, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11, to all the rest, and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other woman with them, who told these things to them. And their words seemed like idle tales. And they did not believe them. You see, sometimes when we tell you about the things that Jesus said he would do, the things that has been written in Scripture for Christ's followers to hold on to and to run with it, you know what it does sound like? It sounds like idle tales and all nonsense. It doesn't make sense to us because we perceive only with our mind. But the Bible said the carnal mind cannot please God. The carnal mind is like an enemy of God. If you're only thinking and rationalizing things, you cannot see God. You understand that? If you only think and rationalize things, then you cannot perceive the things of God. That's what he says. That means that you will not understand, you will not see, you will not experience the things of God. So we have to believe God when Scripture is told us, or when we read us. We have to believe God. Amen. You see, we see that the women and the other disciples came and said, we have seen the Lord risen from the grave. We have seen the linen. We have seen everything. The angel has told us. They said, we don't believe that. But then he told them, I will die, and on the third day, I'll rise again. It was the third day. And were they expecting Jesus? So the challenge for us is that when we read Scripture and we see things being told us, about Jesus, about God, about the Holy Spirit, and about our own reality, do we expect anything to happen? This year, we don't want to just be a number in South Street Baptist Church. We want to be people who are expectant, who are believers of the truth, who study Scripture and they understand, who study Scripture and they are approved of God, and who apply it in their lives and see results. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus came to do on earth is to save his people from their sins. And when he rose from the dead, he made available to all who believe resurrection power of supernatural encounters. Say with me, resurrection power of supernatural encounters. One more time, resurrection power of supernatural encounters. So when Jesus Christ rose from the grave, he brought resurrection power of supernatural encounters. So you and me, if we are here and we say God is with us and we are starting this new year, then we have to believe resurrection power. We have to believe supernatural encounters to set people free from their sins, to set people free from the works of the evil one. Anything that hinders you and seek to destroy you and prevent you from having the peace that Jesus Christ brought. We need supernatural power, resurrection power, supernatural encounters to be able to overcome these things. Amen. Amen. We cannot live in victory unless we believe in resurrection power. And that is exactly what has been given to you and me. We see some of the disciples journey into a village called Emmaus. And as they did so, were engaged in conversations and reasonings to themselves about events that had happened with sad faces. That is what chapter 24, verse 13 to 26 tells us. We're not going to read that. Go and read it at home. Conversations and reason alone will not solve our problems. You understand that? In 2018, conversations and reasons alone will not solve our problems. But inviting Jesus into our situation and our issues will solve our problems. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's not good telling your friend that, you know what, this is my issue. Oh, this is my problem. Yes, it is good. That alone is good. But then if you invite Jesus Christ into that problem, into that sickness, into that disease, into that hardship, into that blockade in your life, then that will bring solutions in 2018. Hallelujah. And that is what we are looking forward to. That is what we are looking forward to. And when we read, Jesus said, and Jesus said, said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and our sad faces. That's what Jesus told them. Because when he raised up some of the disciples, everybody was talking. Yet nobody was believing anything. And some of them were walking to a village, say probably from what? They're walking from, say, Deptford to maybe Eltham. And as they were going, Jesus appeared to them. They did not even see it because they were so engrossed in their conversations and their discussions. And he said, "Hello, what are you talking about?" They turned around and said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem or in Israel who doesn't know what has happened?" Then they started to talk. "Jesus Christ, we know that he was a man from God." That is what they said. "We know he was a prophet." That is what we said. They said, "We know he was a powerful teacher. Many deeds and acts of miraculous things were done by him." They said that. "We were hoping that he will be the one who will redeem or who will rescue Israel from its problems." They said that. So, similarly to us, do we know that Jesus Christ is the man who is sent from God? Do we know him as a prophet, a great prophet? Do we know him as the one who does many miracles, who has accomplished many deeds? And are we looking forward to him as the one who is coming to solve our problems or help solve our problems or help move us forward in life? Are we looking for that? If you are looking for that, then you are worshiping the same Jesus that I'm worshiping. If you are not, then I'm sorry, I don't know which Jesus or which God you are following. Are you with me right now? So we want to follow Jesus in 2018. So when Jesus Christ came, he spoke with them and he opened scripture. We go back to scripture again. What did he do? He opened scripture to them. He started about everything that are spoken of him in the Bible by the prophets, by the psalmist, and by the great teachers, and by many, many men and women of God. He went through all these things. So when he went through all these things, the Bible said that their hearts burned in them. Something was exciting them. Something was happening in them. The Holy Spirit was churning something within them. God was giving them understanding. Somehow, God was pushing the message into their hearts. And it's only when you engage with Scripture in this coming year that God will stir something up in your spirit. If you do not engage with Scripture, nothing will be stirred up. You tell me, "Oh, well, I have my own daily devotions." Yes, you have your daily devotions, but what this church is doing, we are reading the book of Acts. Do it too, if you want to be part of this church. You understand that? Yes? If you want to be part of us, we want to be united in our doing. I'm not saying stop your other reading. Read them by all means. But then be one with us. The disciples were one in one room, and God came. You see, unity brings strength, isn't it? Unity brings strength, because we know, as the saying goes, if you have one broom, you can break it. But if you have a lot more, it is more difficult. You see, don't think about the broom that we have in the kitchen, which is only a long stick. We're thinking about some kind of broom, right? The one that is used in other parts of the world, in East Asia, Africa, Caribbean, all those kind of brooms. And of course, it is used here too. See, I had forgotten, I would have brought one to show you. And I think we may have one in the cupboard. Monica, do we? Okay, then it's all right. I mean, some people probably even don't know what broom we are talking about. Tell me you can bring it. If possible, I will show it. Now, the other thing that we know, as the saying goes, is that, everybody knows what bamboo is? Right. If you don't know what bamboo is, go to British Museum. But you know what? Don't even go too far. Right in front of your church, there's a bamboo. Do you know that's a bamboo plant? If we give that bamboo plant a chance to become a big, big thing. You see, that's Tammy's broom. Right. Now, this broom, if I want to break it, it's flexible. But if I take one, it breaks. What is the difference? They stand together. Who is that wise person there? Whoever it is. They stand together. So it is difficult to break this broom. Victoria, have you seen this before? No chance, Victoria, you have. We use it to sweep. I'm sure when I was a kid and I went to Malaysia, I saw some. I know you come from Singapore, very close to that place. I mean, these things, I mean, they stand together. Do we have it in Venezuela? Good. They stand together. They sweep like nothing before. They were there before vacuum cleaners were invented. You see, they work. But on its own, it breaks. So when bamboos are together and the storms come, they swing together and say, hey, we are together. Hey, we are together. Hey, we are together. They don't break. But then when it is just one and the storm comes, it just breaks easily. So we want to be together as one people. So when there's a call for us to be together and to do things together, it is for a good cause. That is why the disciples were together all the time. That's why Jesus Christ gathered people around him to give him strength. He did that for a particular reason. So let's come back to our reading again. What kind of conversations are you having that you are all sad faces? Sometimes we all fall victims of the same patterns of behavior, I said. Let's make Jesus Christ the solution of our problems and reveal of mysteries and understanding of Scripture. This is how to overcome and sit with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places. Jesus came to be with us. We've just celebrated Christmas. But we need to have the desire to invite him in so he will be able to abide with us and sup with us. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, these days people don't quote them, but it's very popular. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me or she with me. Jesus Christ is at the moment knocking at the door of your hearts. This message was not even for people who don't know God. It was for people who were in church. Revelation chapter 3, the message there was for people who were already Christ followers. So for you who are Christ followers today, the message is, I stand at your door and knock. Anyone who opens it, I will come and be with him, sit with him, and sup with him. So that means Jesus Christ wants to. It's present upon the conscience of your heart. It's present upon the soul and the spirit of your heart. And said, I want to come in. I want to dine with you. I want to sit with you. I want to be with you. And with these two men who were on the way to Emmaus, you know what? It got to a point that they had to separate. And you know what they said? Because the word of God was so exciting and their heart was so stirred up, they said, come on in. Come and be with us. Come and spend the night with us. And Jesus went. And what did he do? He decided eating with them. He started to break bread with them. He started to have fellowship, communion with them. And as he did that, the Bible tells me that he vanished from them. That is amazing, isn't it? That's resurrection power. They invited him in. If they had not invited him, their eyes would not open. The Bible said when they invited him in, their eyes were opened. And they realized this is Jesus. This is Jesus. So Jesus is want you to invite him in so that you can say that this is Jesus. When he enters the situation, he opens your eyes to the impossible. He opens your heart to the thing that you cannot perceive. He opens door for you that nobody will shut. He just opened the atmosphere for you so that you can walk in. And he moves the mountains so that you can walk and you can surmount it. He covers the valleys so that you can walk on dry ground. And that is what he does. He holds you in the midst of the water so that you not be drowned. He holds you and shadows you and covers you with his spirit that in the midst of the fiery furnace, you will not be burned. He has done it for Daniel. He has done it for many people and he will do it for you. The same God of yesterday, the same God is the same God today. He'll be the same God tomorrow. And that is what 2018 is about. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, everything that we will experience has been done before. So that you will believe that the God is the same yesterday. God is the same today and forevermore. This is how to overcome and sit with Jesus Christ on his throne as he always overcome and overcame and sat down with his Father in heaven. Now we have to believe the words of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have to believe the words of Jesus Christ. Sometimes our hearts burn within us when the Holy Spirit scripture is opened to us. Be it through a preacher like I am, or other people, or reading from the Bible ourselves, or hearing from the radio, as sometimes I do, or on television, or on the internet, as it were, we cover our ears and hide our faces. But by doing something with it and taking action is the most important decision that we will ever make in our lives. And what the disciples or Christ followers did was what they heard, what they perceived, what they saw Jesus do in their house at Emmaus. The Bible said that night they were telling Jesus Christ, it's too late, so you come and stay with us. And the same people who were saying it's too late, this time they managed to go back to Jerusalem. They walked many miles to Jerusalem to tell the others, what changed? What changed is the supernatural manifestation of the presence of Jesus Christ. The miracle of Jesus Christ just vanishing from them. The Holy Spirit that was burning in their spirit and the new understanding, the new vigor that they've got about Scripture, that it is possible. And when they went, you know what they said? He is risen as he said he will. But prior to that, they were debating and having conversation and telling everybody their problems. But when the Holy Spirit burned in their heart and revealed Scripture to them, they went back and said, hey, brothers and sisters, stop staying here and having conversations and praying all night for something which is never going to happen because he is risen. Hallelujah. So what they were saying is that we want you to believe in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You can have all night prayers, but if you don't believe in resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the power to change situations, the power to change the natural to supernatural and to bring solutions to you, then you will stay in your prayers and you pray until kingdom come and nothing will happen. Hallelujah. Amen. This is our New Year's message. Hello, bless you, my sister. Hallelujah. Amen. See, this is our New Year's message. Other times, we would rather get terrified and frightened at the thought of Holy Spirit's power or Jesus being with us. We become troubled and doubt rises in our hearts, thinking some spirit will possess us. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 24, verse 38 to 39, help me out, young man. Okay, I'll press on. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubt arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. You see, Jesus Christ wants us to come to the point of handling him to know. He wants us to come to the point of getting so close that we can feel we can touch him. Do you understand that? That we can touch him as human being. He wants us to get to the point. That means he's talking about intimate relationship with him. You see, when you have an intimate relationship with your partner, you are so close, isn't it? You see, if you're not, then you turn your backs when you sleep on the bed. Yes or no? Some of you probably have no experience, but those who have, it's something like that. Somebody vexes you, and you don't want to sleep anywhere close to the person. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ wants us to get to, the point that we can actually feel and touch and feel his breath actually blowing upon us. That is what he wants us to do. Today, I want to encourage you that this year, let us begin to see beyond the baby Jesus in a manger, so that we can encounter the resurrected Jesus Christ. We need to encounter Jesus up close and personal. I mean to have a supernatural encounter with him as Christ followers, so that our eyes will be open to Scripture and work the works of God and help other people. Jesus Christ in his ministry here on this earth, he ministered and walked with so much compassion and love while on earth. Because you'll be thinking, oh, Pastor Gideon is talking so much about the Holy Spirit. When is he going to talk about love? You know what? The Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. You understand that? When you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are full of love. Because Jesus Christ was full of the Holy Spirit, there was so much love in him that he couldn't walk about seeing people suffering and not do anything about it. You see, people who don't help others are callous because the Spirit of God is not in them. You see, the Spirit of God moves you. You are always very kind and compassionate and generous, and you want to see that people are well. And that is absolutely true. You can't bear to see people suffering. So, while on earth, he expects his followers to do the same. And whilst resurrected, he expects his followers to do the same, to be filled with compassion for others. Compassion is defined as heartache that one gets, motivated by someone else's pain, that prompts you to take action by doing something for that one who is suffering. You understand that? You see, you feel the person's aches and pain. When a person is crying, you feel like you want to cry. When the person is distressed, you feel distressed. When the person is not happy, you feel that way. When the person is suffering, you see the suffering and thinking, no, this is not right. I need to do something about it. But sometimes we feel incapable of doing anything because maybe the person wants money and we say, okay, we don't have money. So, okay, we just move away. Bible says our faith should be backed by action. There is something you can always do in every situation. So the heartache that one gets motivated by someone else's pain, that prompts us to take action by doing something for the one who is suffering. Compassion was the principle that moved Jesus in his ministry. Compassion comes with corresponding action, both natural and supernatural. If you have compassion for somebody, you do something natural for that person, but also for compassion to be complete as a Christ follower, it's got to be followed by a supernatural action. Hallelujah. So this Christmas, we gave out 28 or 29 hampers, and giving them alone was good, natural things. But it's got to be followed by supernatural encounters, because the people that we met, most of them had issues that giving them food today will not solve them. After Christmas, the food is finished by now. Even the most careful person must have finished the hampers we gave to them. Right. So what happens? Are we going to give hampers again until another 12 months? Do they starve? We've got to offer solutions. And those solutions will be natural and supernatural. We have to start praying for these people. We have to start making it possible for them to encounter Jesus. Somehow along the line, we've got to do something other than just giving out hampers. Compassion means natural and supernatural action that we can do. Hallelujah. Because that is what Jesus did all the time. How do I know that? When he was feeding the 5,000 people, what happened? He was concerned about the 5,000 people not having food to eat. And he could have given them bread just like that. But the Bible says when he took the bread, right, 5 loaves and 2 fish, he prayed to God and gave it to the disciples that do something with it. And as they did something with it, it multiplied in their hearts. So he met the need naturally, and he did that by supernatural means, isn't it? That is exactly what Jesus Christ did. So we are looking for compassionate people. He opened the eyes of the blind. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He saw people's children being escorted out to the cemetery, and the parents and everybody crying in pain. And he couldn't stand it. He had to do something. He went to the house of Lazarus in John chapter 11. He couldn't bear the pain and the sorrowful messages coming from the family. And he said, Lazarus, come out. So he offered solutions, both natural and supernatural. That is what we are looking for in this coming year. Am I telling you about the truth? Yes. Am I speaking scripture? Yes. Oh, this is a Caribbean language. This is an African language. This is scripture. So we want to press on. We just want you to understand that there are so many people around the world that speak like me, that preach like me, and more. There are so many people that God wants to use to effect compassion, to bring compassion over people and to change situations. What is the point in sympathizing and empathizing with people? Sympathy is often just a feeling that moves one to respond to a need but has no supernatural corresponding action. Sympathy and empathy does not produce lasting solutions but temporary relief. Do you understand that? You see, if somebody, say my brother, Dad Lloyd I met you in Lewisham, didn't I? Yeah. So he invited me to coffee, but I didn't. So I met him, and he sees me. He's probably felt, oh, this man looking miserable. He needs a cup of coffee, right? But then I needed more than that at the time. So somehow along the line, if somebody offered me a cup of coffee, and I have a need beyond, and the person does not do nothing about it, he sympathizes with my pain at the time. He empathizes, he identifies with my hunger and helps me out. But the solution could be that something is blocking me from something. Most of the people who are homeless, sleeping rough in our country, some of them are amazing people. Something must have happened in their lives somehow, and as they've ended up on this street. I was watching the television, I was seeing New York with so much snow, minus 15, minus 20, minus 40, and some people are still sleeping rough. And I'm thinking, what will make such a person sleep in such a situation? Something is making them do that, and somebody need to help them out. It could be mental health illness, and somebody need to help them, either practically and more so also spiritually. Because mental illness, some of it has its roots in demonic activities. Not all of them, but some of them. And there's so many. If you read Mark chapter 5, you see that it was a demoniac and the person was mentally ill. That was the only solution. The only solution was to cast out those demons, and he became sane. So let's look at it. What are we saying here, my brothers and sisters? We might identify with someone's problem and cry with them or give them practical help and advice, but if not backed by supernatural action, then we are not having compassion in ministry as Jesus Christ did. Let's take Salvation Army, for example. When William and Catherine Booth established that ministry, do you know something? There was so much supernatural power. And William and Catherine Booth, you tell me, where did they come from? Anyone know? You from Salvation Army background, where did they come from? Exactly. British, born and bred. When Salvation Army started, it started with powerful ministry. They went on the street and they laid their hands on the sick and healed them. They get a homeless, they feed them, and they pray over them, and their lives are changed, and they get a job. That was what Salvation Army was for several years. When their leaders died, over years, we don't know what happened. Now Salvation Army was reduced to what? Playing trumpets and singing carols and giving cups of tea and coffee. And the very work that they were doing has become even bigger and bigger and bigger, and Salvation Army has become marginalized in that work. And yet they were the solution to the problems of homelessness and problems of hunger and poverty in this country several centuries back. That is what they were doing in our country. And because of that, a lot of wealthy people gave them money. Salvation Army is one of the most wealthiest organization or church or establishment that we have in this country. Their headquarters in London is in Denmark Hill. If you go into King's College Hospital on your left, huge buildings, huge institutions. In fact, these chairs that you are sitting on was from Salvation Army. Hallelujah. It's the truth, because I hire a man to pick them up. And the tables that you have downstairs, they have so much. And to digress a little bit, some of these churches, you see that it has handles, isn't it? They call them apostles' hand. Listen, that's where Catherine and William Booth were sitting in. So when you sit in, you must have some anointing. You see, and that was exactly what was happening. So they even had chairs for apostles. That means people who will come and effect the power of God upon the people. But is that happening now? It's not. Let me move away from Salvation Army. They're still doing a good job, I must say. But what I'm trying to say is that the power of God is not being used right now. And they are not being as effective as they ought to be. They're not being as effective as they ought to be. To this point, we can conclude that the main objective for receiving God's supernatural power are to shape our character, establish an effective prayer life, serve God, overcome sin, defeat Satan, help cultivate obedient followers of Jesus Christ, accomplish more in less time, and become an effective witness for Jesus. Yet knowing these things is not enough. We must make the personal decision to commit ourselves to put his power into action. If we make this decision, God will support us and back us up and give us his power and grace to walk in victory. I want to talk about this last point, which is actually the subject of my preach. However, I will concise that for you. When God has been good to you, for the things that you've prayed for, do not remain as unbelievers and marvel only in the provision given and the miracles you have received. God surely wants to be with you and eat or sup with you. He will do more if you ask him to. So don't settle for less this year. Amen? Amen. Don't settle for less this year. You see, I've summarized this from verse 40 to 43. But unfortunately, some of you whom God has been good to, and for the joy of his provision, you marvel. Which is rightly good. But instead, what you go on to do is that you stop serving him. You even stop being faithful followers of Jesus Christ. You stop being generous with your financial stewardship. Tithes and offerings now becomes a tip, and church attendance to worship him among fellow true believers becomes an irregular, hard struggle or slog in our lives. If you find, praise you, God bless you. You see, he's praising God for us. He says, hear it, hear it, hear it. Come on, Sebastian, say more. The truth about scripture that we will need to understand and keep in our hearts and act on it is that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning Jesus and his followers. This year, 2018, we must pray that the Holy Spirit opens our understanding so that we might comprehend scripture. I heard on the radio towards the end of the year, the last few days, 2017, that some shops have already started displaying Easter eggs on their shelves, and people are buying them. Will you believe this? We Christ followers more so should heed Christ's commands that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses to this. Christ is talking to us. We must indeed tarry. Let me read verse 49 to you so that I can run this message off. Jesus Christ said, 49, Jesus Christ said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That was one of the last words that Jesus said before he was taken into heaven. Normally, we are interested in people's last words because they might have left some money for us so that we can inherit. We are interested in people's last words because it stays with us for a long, long time. I'm going to send you that what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. I like the word clothed in power. We have to come to the point. Tarry means, or remain means, more than merely waiting or sitting around doing nothing. It means to live in the authority God has given us in Christ Jesus. God has appointed us to sit with him in heavenly places, as Ephesians 2 tells us. Every time we speak, pray, teach, or preach, we must do so from the throne of authority. This is how we will obtain God's support in ministry. Jesus himself said to his followers before he ascended to heaven that we must stay in the city until we have been clothed with power from on high. So each one of us need to endure. The word stay means endure. Or another way to say that we've been clothed. That's a different word. I said endeared with power. Meaning we have to put on or clothe completely with a substance that cannot be removed so that it becomes inseparable from us. We need to ask God to anoint us this year with his Holy Spirit power. For that will strengthen us. That will enable us. That will make things look impossible to be made possible by his grace. God is willing to pour out his power, his capability, his strength, and the fullness of his glory on us to effect change in our circumstances, in our situation. So in 2018, we must see the hand of God lifted over us in blessings untold in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We must see that in our lives today. In summary, what do I have to say? Everything God does, we can do in his power. Everything is possible for God. It's also possible for the believer who is a Christ follower. So let us connect with Jesus Christ. Let us have a change of mindset like Paul says in Romans chapter 12 verse 2. We must walk in power and compassion. This is the message that I have to give you in the new year. We're going to respond to this. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.